You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the latest edition of William Hill's Daily Racing Podcast. You join us on Monday's edition where we're looking ahead to the action at Plumpton, Ayr and Wolverhampton. And remember to tune in to Racing Radio from 1:40pm on Monday afternoon with Dave Kellner, Ross Briley and Mick Norton in the studio guiding you through the action. But joining myself, Sam Norris, on today's edition of the podcast is the aforementioned Mick Norton to take a look at four races on Monday. How are you, Mick?
Yes, good, thanks, Sam.
Enjoy the weekend's action?
Yeah, it was very good, wasn't it? Some really sort of smaller stables picking up big pots, which is good to see.
Yeah, we always like to see that. We must start the podcast, though, Mick, with the sad news that's reached us this morning. Violet Dancer has had to be put down following complications after surgery, a former winner of the Betfair Hurdle and the Kingmaker as well this year. Gary Moore's just having wretched luck at the moment.
Absolutely. It was news to me when you told me that just before we started to do this piece, and it just... just shows you the perils involved in trying to keep these horses in one piece and healthy. He lost traffic fluid after that brilliant seasonal reappearance after a long absence, which put him right in the firing line for the champion chase. He's out. Ahmad's had a setback. He's going to miss the festival. And now he's lost one of his stars. Just war upon war, wasn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's seemingly getting worse for Gary Moore. Hopefully he can have a turnaround in fortune for the yard. On to lighter news, Mick. We had a decent weekend's racing, of course, on Saturday. And we'll start with Zubeya, who was one of the standout performances of the weekend, winning the Adonis by 3¾ lengths. A lot of people drawing similarities to him and Zarkander, who, of course, went from that race to win the Triumph in 2011 for Paul Nicholls. Mm. It'll be some task, though, to go and win the Triumph now.
It will, but he certainly didn't appear to be fazed by making his debut in that grade. And he's following a similar pattern, same breeder, same former trainer, even the same box, which is scary.
Yeah.
You know, of course, the Aga Khan, Alain de Roy Dupre, and came out the same box as Zarkander. So why not? When the favourite is a horse who bombed last time, one of the other market lasers who horse who bombed behind Zubeya on Saturday, why shouldn't it be elevated towards the head of the market?
Yeah, we now go 6-1 for Zubeya, who's second favourite behind Ivanovic Gorbatov at 3-1. Sco Royale is 8, Connetable 10s, Footpad 10s. It's a messy, messy picture at the moment, the Triumph
Hurdle. It's just like the Champion Hurdle, isn't it?
Yeah.
It just gets worse, not better. So, but I wouldn't put anybody off backing him. You missed the price, sadly, but there you are.
Yeah, people will be hoping that Zubeya can follow in the footsteps of Zarkander. It's very much a similar story to what we've got going on in Ireland with Min being the next Duvan as well, isn't it? They've come from the same sire, the same. They both come from France.
Yeah, he's by authorised out of a Dalakani mare, and authorised is, strangely enough, becoming quite a hot property with his jumpers.
He is indeed. That's Zubeya then, 6-1, available with us here for the Triumph Hurdle. The big race of the day was, of course, the Ida on Saturday, won by Rocking Blues, who put his rivals to the sword, really, a galloping 9-length victory and a momentous occasion for young 17-year-old £10 claimer Lorcan Murtagh. Must have been a big day for him.
Absolutely. I think it was only his third winner or something, wasn't it, Sam? And apart from taking the last fence with him into the winner's enclosure, everything went very smooth. Just travel like a dream. You couldn't believe it at the end of the Ida, when usually horses are out on the feet, how well he was going between, well, all the way at the home straight, really. And, you know, a tired horse would have fallen at the last with that mistake he made. He didn't get high, but he didn't, did he? He didn't even him. So great for Lorcan. Great for Rose Dobbin. Great for the owners. And great for Logan's dad, I imagine, Barry, who would have been absolutely delighted to see his son ride the Ida winner. It's good to see it as well. Stop, stay at home, the Ida, isn't it?
Rather
than get plundered by the Southerners.
Yeah, indeed. It looks quite an exciting prospect, this horse, as well, Mick.
He does.
It's very rare that we see that kind of turn of foot from a stayer.
Well, he's got, dare we say it, with the way these horses fall apart, he's got every inch of the look of a national horse about him, hasn't he? The way he just gets into that relentless rhythm and stamina to spare, hasn't he? He just, well, he looked good at Newcastle previously in Kelso and was technically £9 well in, but the Ida's a law unto itself where these sort of things can go out the window, but not on this occasion. And the form is good. Shotgun Paddy gives the form credibility. Portrait King's a previous winner of the race as a 7-year-old. You know, to win it at 7-1 and keep coming back for more. And Mystery, I thought, you know, I think the form is solid enough, and he's still won by 9 lengths despite taking the last fence home with him.
Yes, another exciting performer from Kempton came in the shape of Winter Escape for Alan King. The Supreme looks like it might come a little bit too soon for him. He's available at 20-1 here. It's looking likely that they'll bypass the festival, which looks on the face of it a good move. He won again yesterday, but was made to work considerably harder than he has done before.
Plenty of festivals to come for him, isn't there? And who knows, maybe a trip to Aintree or to Punchestown even. Although there's a nice razorbed air for him at the Scottish National meeting. So I'm sure Alan King will take his time with him. I know he thinks the world of this horse, and he's just bringing him on nice and quietly. But whether we'll see him at the festival, I would wait until I committed to tell before I backed him. But most firms are going non-runner no bet now, aren't they? Certainly in those sort of races. So it's whether you think he'll go, I suppose, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
And what for? He certainly won't take on Yanworth, will he?
No, in the next year, no, not for the same owner. 20-1 years with a Sir at William Hill for the Supreme.
He could well hit the frame in the Supreme, wouldn't he? Because whether they'd want to settle for that, I'm not sure.
Yes.
I think Min and Alti have probably got a couple of places booked, so there's not many places up for grabs,
to shoot for, yeah. That's right. Another one more big winner that we'll just briefly touch on. Theatre Guide, winner of the Betbright Chase for Gene Bishop and Colin Tizard. It's always nice to see Gene have a winner. I don't hear anyone have a bad word to say about it, or the trainer.
Well, she's having a season to dream about, isn't she? And Colin Tizard's never had a run like it, and let's hope that all goes well between now and a week Tuesday. Well, for him, supposedly a week Friday, but the whole thing, just to get the team there in good order, but they certainly couldn't be in better form at the moment. And Theatre Guide was very impressive, wasn't he? He's sort of in the form of his life now, and again, there was absolutely nothing wrong with the form of that, even though there were a couple of big prizes, three big prizes chased him home. They're all good horses in their own right, you know, and came back to form, if you like.
Yeah, that's right. More good news for the connections of Kew Card, of course, then on Saturday. That about rounds up the weekend's action. We'll move on now, Mick, to take a look at four races on Monday. We've picked out one from Plumpton, two from Ayr, and one from Wolverhampton on the Tapita preview. But we start with the Plumpton 305, a handicap hurdle here, just shy of 2 miles the trip for this one. It's a Class 4 event. Anything stand out here?
Well, I do think that Nebula Storm's consistency deserves another visit to their winner's enclosure. And I do think Michael Blake has found another winning opportunity for him here. He's only £4 higher than the last win, remains in form, and seems to go well for Harry Cobden, whose claim's going to come in useful. And this does lack depth. So he's got as good a chance as anything, and probably better than most. Here the Chimes, a last time out winner, but he is £6 higher than that Ludlow win, and he has struggled off these marks previously. No surprise to see them go for William Featherston, £7 to take off that weight rise, but I still think he's going to struggle under 11 stone 12. And Graham's Announce is the only other one I can really make any credible case for, but he was beaten a long way the last twice, and far too far to suggest that he's a winner waiting to happen. Doesn't look as though he's yet recapturing that smart autumn form that he showed up to last October. But keep an eye on the betting for him. He will bounce back one of these days, but it looks booked for Nebula Storm for me, Sam.
Nebula Storm, the choice then in the 305 at Plumpton. We'll go to Air now to take him there, 315. This is a handicap hurdle over 2 miles and 5 furlongs. A qualifier for the Challenger Staying Hurdle Series final. Usually produce a pretty decent race at these contests. What did you like, Mick?
Yeah, I'll go through them in race card order, the shortlist. The first one we want to worry about is the joint top weight, Oscar Blue, who did disappoint at Musselburgh last time, and his run of good, solid efforts came to an end. But I think he'd be much happier this way around. All his best form's going left-handed, Sam. And he could well bounce back here. Paddy Brannan's sort of striking up a good relationship, knows his horse quite well. Was on board last time, so he'll probably say, well, let's go back the other way around. And here he is back at Air. And he certainly hasn't got too many to worry about, that's for sure. Calavini, he's got a good record here at Air, a bit of a course specialist, saves his best for Air. But and he does want 3 miles plus in the mud. But he does have to come back to his best, being beaten an awful long way the last race, albeit being out of his depth last time on a track that wouldn't bring out the best of him. If it came a downpour on the day and it become really... Calavini will be staying on better than a lot of these. But I'm going to take a chance with taking risks. The handicapper hasn't missed him for that demolition job at Kelso last time, but he was backed as if defeat was out of the question. And this race does lack a bit of, strength, if you like, and he does look to be a useful staying prospect. So I'm going to stay with taking risks for Brian Harding and Nicky Richards.
Taking risks, then getting the vote in the 3:15. We stay at Air now for their 4:20. A handicap chase coming up here over 2.5 miles. This is a Class 4 event. Talk us through this one, Mick.
Yeah, again, we'll go through them in race card order. Sound the way it's headed by Kilbury Chief, who's had a luckless run over fences, just keeps running into one. Worth keeping on side, though, because he has gone close. You wouldn't say he's getting beaten because of his mark. Although he has got nudged up a bit for those placed efforts, but he has gone close off similar marks over hurdles. Certainly not discounted. And again, in a race, it's hard to make a strong case for too many of them. Johnny Eager was a wide margin winner last time at Carlisle. He's gone up a massive amount for that win, which just tempers enthusiasm a little bit. So the vote goes to Milan Flyer, who was a winner here penultimately. He ran a good second in Navan next time, and he's only £4 higher than the Air win. He ran well off of this mark in Navan last time. So coming back here against probably beatable opposition, I'm going to stay with Milan Flyer.
Milan Flyer then getting the choice for Mick in the 4:20. We'll go to Wolverhampton then for the final race on today's podcast. This is their 4 o'clock, a 9 furlong handicap here. A Class 2 event with dead out runners declared for this at the time of recording. What gets the choice here?
Yeah, I'm going to go with stay with our channel, who he actually contested Australia's Derby in 2014. And he's rarely run a bad race since, including a good second in a really valuable race in Turkey. And he also ran well in a very hot handicap in Maidan, so he's no stranger to this level. And he had a nice confident boosting win in Class 2 company at Chelmsford last time. This is his Tapita debut. He'll be very much at home on this surface, and I think he's going to be very hard to beat. Brave Zolo is an obvious danger. Previous winner here on the Tapita at Wolverhampton. Keeps running into one, but he's crying out for this trip. He really has been for some time, and they've finally bitten the bullet and gone to a sort of trip. All he wants now is a gallop to aim at, otherwise he'd be too keen early on. But if he gets his gallop and end to end, he could be a big danger to our channel. The only other one to make a strong case for is Perfect Cracker, who's a three-time CD winner, so loves it on the Tapita here, won in January, and a good second off the revised mark over this course and distance 3 weeks ago. If anything goes wrong with the big two, if you like, our channel and Brave Zolo, Perfect Cracker will be perfectly poised to pick up the piece, and if the dead eight stand the ground, difficult to see him not being in the frame. But I'm going to stay with our channel.
channel then for William Haggas and Pat Cosgrave getting the selection in that Wolverhampton race. Just spin us through, please, one more time, your four selections for the action on Monday.
Yeah, and the Plumpton 305, Nebula Storms, we found a good winning opportunity. And Nicky Richards looks to have a good staying novice on his hands in taking risks, and hopefully he can make his mark in that Air 315 after the Kelso demolition job in that maiden hurdle. 4:20 at Air, Milan Flyback for more, won here two outings ago, and a good second in Navan last time out, and he hasn't got too much to worry about. And our channel is bidding for back-to-back wins this year, and he's got Brave Zolo and Perfect Cracker to beat.
Okay, thanks very much, Mick, and enjoy the action and best of luck on Monday.
Yeah, I'll be here, Matt, to watch them win or lose.
Thank you very much to Mick Norton there for providing his thoughts on Monday's action. Remember to join Mick in the Racing Radio studio alongside Dave Kellner and Ross Briley on Monday afternoon. We've got two jumps fixtures at Plumpton and Ayr, and we're on the taffeta at Wolverhampton. You've been listening to the Daily Racing Podcast, brought to you by William Hill.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.